Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
This is the summer stunt series, The Chaser Report. We're catching up with members of the team, looking back on some of the TV glory and inglorious days, I think it's fair to say. Charles Firth is here. I'm Dom Knight. And Craig Rucastle is back with us again. Hello, Craig.
Yes, good to be here. I want to talk today about how extremely unglamorous stunts can be and how they're often the worst things you'll ever do in your life. I'll start with one that didn't happen where I'm really thankful. You know, generally speaking, when somebody gets arrested on the team, you're like, oh, that's bad.
But you get publicity, so.
Yeah, publicity, that's true. There's a little bit of that. Do you remember we did the stunt where Chaz tried to get in the Big Day Out?
Oh, I do remember that.
Steaks
with the sausages. We'll get into that in just a second.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. News you know you can't trust.
Right, so the Big Day Out and the less glamorous side of making stunts on TV.
Yeah, so of course you've got these several steps and we were basically testing whether or not you could get into the Big Day Out past the sniffer dogs, because it was quite controversial at the time. They had sniffer dogs.
Oh, yeah.
This is the world's greatest stunt, you know.
Really?
Craig. Yes. This one has at least 23 million views on TikTok, the one that you're talking about. And like in the late, but also it gets pirated. Like it is literally, it's become an internet meme.
Extraordinary.
And it's all in the like shitty video in the wrong aspect ratio. People still love it anyway.
They love it. And the thing is, you'll notice if you watch it is that I'm not in it, but I was there. And
this you were there.
But this is an example of where, you know, we have come up with several ideas because you've got to escalate the thing.
Mm.
So I think the first step was somebody going with.
That was Denton's idea.
You have
it
in
advance. You always have
another
it in advance that always fucks you.
You can't have one good idea. And if you
listen
back.
That was Denton's idea, coming up with good ideas. Yeah. Good on him.
You have to have more than one funny idea. Screw Denton. This is why, to look back at the, you probably already heard the episode about Chaz. The time he got arrested at Burwood local court, that was why Chaz was under a bush naked.
Yeah.
Because he was the second step.
Exactly. There's always this second fucking step. So go on, what is
So I think we'd initially had somebody go with maybe some fake drugs on them, or, you know. But then Chaz had gone through with steaks in his pockets and the
sausages.
Links of sausages,
And then he got in trouble with the police and kind of it all got shut down. And I was extremely relieved about that because I was standing like with our car waiting. I was the final step. If everything didn't, you know, if everything kind of didn't finish, I was meant to go in with dog food in my pants.
Oh, were you really?
Which I look back now, I go, I cannot believe that I said yes to that in any way. I think I kind of thought we're never going to get to that.
It's kind of funny that we were sitting in the writer's room and thought, oh, I don't think the sausages will work.
Yeah.
We definitely need a more surefire offer than
that. But how would you get it? Like, you mean like, so it looked like poo?
No.
Did
you
have
to tie the bottom
food
of your like pants?
My point was dog food.
Oh, like kibbles or something.
I don't know. I think it was.
Like wet dog food in your pants?
This is what I look back and go, how could I have said yes to this?
Well, we did these things very quickly often. You had a quick meeting and then the people organised it all, and then you're out there and it's just all been organised and you didn't even realise that it was going to be like wet dog food down your
undies. Exactly. So there you go. Extremely unglamorous. The other one I always remember.
You didn't have to execute
it. I didn't have to do it because thankfully Chaz got lots of trouble from the police and we got shut down. And I was like, thank God.
Yeah, right.
I look back in hindsight
But did you then just piss off or did you?
You didn't have the dog food in your pants.
No, I had not prepped to that point.
Did you go along and sort of try and help Chaz out and bail him out, or did you just piss off?
I can't remember that, but I don't think I helped him.
Yeah.
No, why would you?
Because we interviewed him about this a few days ago.
Yeah.
And by his account, he was just stuck there in this sort of Kafka-esque bureaucracy where everyone was talking about him, not realizing that he was the person who'd done it. So everyone was going, so this guy walked in with a whole lot of sausages, the sniffer dog, and he's just sitting there. And they're going, no, it's that guy.
It's that guy there.
Some idiot.
I don't remember how we got him out. was a mistake. They probably...
Yeah, I know, because that was the perfect opportunity.
But also,
yeah.
You know how criminal organisations work. You've got to make it so that if one person gets you know,
yes,
gets capped...
There's paucity.
You've got continuity.
Well, that is the other example, which is the stunt at Burwood Court. Now, I think this is a perfect... This is another great example.
But you weren't in that.
No, but I just thought the whole topic of unglamorous stunts, how unglamorous,
yes,
it is.
Yes.
Did Andrew Hansen talk about this at the time?
We haven't asked Andrew about his extremely excellent getaway.
Andrew and Julian had to put the Vodafone logos on each other.
We did discuss that. They painted it on each other's asses with a paintbrush in a toilet cubicle.
In a toilet cubicle. And I would suggest that is one of the least glamorous parts of anyone's life to be doing that.
Yeah.
But I also...
When your job includes ass work.
Yeah. Ass painting. In public cubicle. It's like, I wonder, it'd be interesting.
Oh, mind you, I can think of several public broadcasters who've had that sort of...
Look, anything can happen when you're in a toilet cubicle, let's just say that.
Exactly, yeah. But another one where years ago, there's a picture that occasionally comes up and I see it and I go, oh, what the fuck was I thinking there? And this was... We did a stunt where I had to wear Speedos. Now, everyone remembers this has been a Tony Abbott stunt, but it wasn't.
I remember who it was. Yeah.
It was Peter Debnam.
Peter Debnam, the least effective opposition leader in New South Wales history, even people who live in New South Wales will not remember who that was.
I don't remember Peter Debnam.
He was the New South Wales opposition leader for the Liberal Party. And for some reason, this is pre-Tony Abbott, and for some reason in the Liberal Party playbook, it's like, oh, you want to be elected, do you? Why don't you go to the beach in red Speedos?
Very tight red. And he was extremely far right and very unelectable. And Yemmer beat him in a landslide, even though no one knew who Morris Yemmer was.
Yeah.
So basically,
still not ringing a bell.
Yeah.
This Morris Yemmer guy.
Peter Debnam, if you're listening, we're the two people who remember who you are. Charles is like, and has family members, who've been in the New South Wales Parliament.
Who would have been in Parliament at the same time.
No, this was the second Morris Yemmer election, because it was the Morris Yemmer election where he got back in, surprisingly, because Peter Debnam was so shit, despite the fact that Morris Yemmer's campaign thing was,
more to do, but heading in the right direction.
That's right.
That was the world's greatest slogan.
And they ran ads.
It's like, I'm shit, but I'm trying.
But I love it.
I know I'm shit. I'm shit, but I know I'm shit.
Yeah. But I love the, because it would have been done with focus groups.
Yeah.
And it would have been like, this really resonates with voters. Yeah.
Everyone thinks you're shit. How can you capitalise on it to get re-elected? Yeah, Scott Morrison, you might want to try that.
Yeah, no.
More to do, heading in the right direction.
Yeah.
I don't think that would ring true.
More
to do, and we'll change direction.
Everything's still to do. We haven't actually done anything, but we're thinking about it.
Considering the truth this time. Yeah. Look, so anyway, for some reason there's been a big scandal. Well, not a scandal, but a big media outcry about the fact that he's got all these photos of him in his Speedos.
It was the only thing that they had to talk about. He was the complete void of personality. It was the one moment that everyone was ever aware of him.
Exactly. So this is in the election campaign. So I decided, we all decided, we're going to go to his press conference, but in Speedos, and try and question him in Speedos, which, again, great idea. But think about it this way. Where does one put a microphone pack if you're wearing
That's true for a radio mic, particularly in those days. It was quite a heavy battery pack.
Yes, you got it's quite nice.
And transmitter.
So the second thing is that if you're going to do a stunt.
So what's the answer? You didn't.
I ended up having to put it in a hat. So now if you see the pictures of this stunt, A, I'm wearing this enormously large trucker's hat. B,
You got a Stetson.
It's basically a Stetson. B, and this is the thing about doing a stunt, is you don't know until the day or two before. So had I known I was going to do this stunt, I would have gone to the gym at any point in the last few years and had a tan. But I did neither of those things. So there's this photo of me on the internet in these red Speedos with this pasty white, terrible body, wearing a giant hat that has a microphone stuffed in the top of it.
But But the shot would have been very well colour balanced because they would have been able to get a sort of white balance yeah. off your skin.
Well, I mean, the great thing is the modern version of those are incredibly small. Like you could you'd probably go and try it again, Craig.
Really?
Just with a very, very small transmitter.
Let's just say that I haven't been prepping for that either.
the one time Peter Debnam's name will ever be mentioned by anyone in the media.
But so wait a minute, I still don't understand what the stunt was. Was it just
it was just the fact that to question him. I was asking
was it a speedo?
I can't remember what the actual thing was. I think it's on YouTube somewhere.
Have we got... Can we roll the clip?
Well, through to infrastructure, which is what we're talking about here today.
Mr Devnam, do you have any idea why the people of New South Wales aren't warming to you, Mr Devnam? Any idea at all why people aren't getting your messages? Oh, sorry, I'm not Peter Devnam. He's over there. You got me confused, guys. Sorry. Just because I'm wearing this doesn't mean I'm Peter Devnam. This happens everywhere I go. I'm not Peter Debnam. God's sake.
Guys, thank you.
Thanks very much, everyone. It's out. What? Oh, sorry, I'm not Peter Debnam. I forget.
Well, that clears it up, doesn't it?
I mean, it really was. Sometimes it was just like, we've got to do something on this. It's the least uninteresting thing that's happened in a week.
I think, I remember one point because the media became obsessed by me and started following me. And I kept just going, I'm not Peter Debnam. What are you worrying about?
Because you were more recognisable, yeah. But there were times when just to make a topical weekly stunt-based TV show, we had to do the most stupidly obvious things. Like I'm thinking, you know how there was the whole thing with Kevin Rudd at Scores, right? And it was revealed that he'd
Scores strip club
in New York, and he'd been trying to suck up to Murdoch, which is ironic given the Royal Commission thing now. But anyway, and he went to the strip club with them, and we sent like a burlesque dancer to his event to like disrobe with like a Kevin 07, I don't know, like bra or something. It was just... There was nothing witty or clever about it. It was just we had to do something about this story. Mm. What do we do? I guess we'll send a stripper.
But that was the interesting thing about Rudd is because Rudd was very pro talking to us before he got elected.
Yes.
And then when he got elected,
oh,
he absolutely shut everything down. Mm. I remember that we put hours into trying to get near him and he was like very much... very cold.
I reckon nowadays he'd
get him
up.
Back.
We had him
on our Triple M show at one point, actually. But no, that's did true. Really? There's a story, and we should actually ask the person involved in this to confirm it. But I remember someone in the chaser telling me that. Should I say who it is? I remember Chaz telling me that he had somehow gotten Kevin Rudd. Like someone was on the phone talking to him, and he'd taken the phone from that person at some event. And just sworn at Kevin Rudd for like 5 minutes, anonymously, like just abused him. And then a few minutes later, Kevin Rudd ran just to take the piss, like just completely.
I've never heard this story.
Chaz was just swearing at Kevin Rudd for a few minutes.
Why? It seems very un-Chaz.
Just for the fun of it, just to be silly. And then a few minutes later, Kevin Rudd rang his mobile and was like, oh, hi, Chaz. That was funny what you just did. What did you want to use it for? Do you want anything else from me? Can I come and do a sketch
so
or something?
He figured out
he was Chaz. He must maybe have called the person back.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, it's quite unprofessional thing that Chaz had done just to amuse himself, thinking that we'd never be traced. And Kevin Rudd's like, an opportunity to be on the show. I said, I could get positive media. Beasley wouldn't do it.
Yeah. That is true that Kevin Rudd, when we used to do stunts at Parliament House, and normally when you stand at the doors of Parliament House, like politicians are trying to get around you.
Mm.
So if you're talking to one person, someone would sneak in and go, I got away with it. And if you're talking to one person, Kevin Rudd would stand there and wait so that he could get on the show.
Can we play the clip here? I think it's one of my favourite moments in the history of The Chaser, where it's happened a few times on camera, but we got one where someone went up to Tony Abbott. It may well have been you, Craig. And his brain just broke. He just could not answer the question for quite some time. There's a famous one from the news where he just goes,
That's the Mark Riley one.
Yeah, yeah. But we have our version of that, and it's worth playing in.
Tony, I know you're worried about debt. We found a big debt problem, a huge debt problem.
Sure.
Tony Abbott, you're in massive debt. You're in much more debt than the government is. Look at this. This is terrible news for you. Well, you keep saying you've got to be as restrained as households.
And I guess having learnt the lessons myself, we can take the lessons of the country.
This is an economic question. Shall I ask Andrew Robb about this? But look, because you keep saying we should use Australia's households, but they got six times more debt than the government, Tony. I know you're not a tech head or an egg head, but which kind of head are you? You should know this before you go into a press conference. Somebody might ask. Do you want $20, mate? Tony, get out of debt. Can you hand this on to him?
What's interesting in that, because the thing about Tony Abbott was that he's actually an interesting example of how politicians chose to media manage the chaser. So the first several times we went up to Tony Abbott, he would just absolutely blank us. He wouldn't talk to us. I mean, the famous example was the Archbishop Pell thing. He'd been caught having a secret interview with Archbishop Pell.
Having a meeting and planning.
Yeah, meeting. Yeah, he'd been then caught out. Tony Jones on Late Line had asked him about it. He'd stumbled about it. He hadn't admitted it. And so I went up to him dressed as an archbishop, just going, Tony, are you going to remember this meeting or whatever? And followed him around, hassled him. Didn't do anything. But then after a few stunts where he did this, we went up to him another one and he totally changed his approach. He totally engaged. He was actually quite funny, which actually surprised me at the time. And he was actually went along with it. And it fundamentally changed the way he came across in the actual stunts.
Well, that's the thing. We were giving people an opportunity to look good if they did a good job.
So it was weird.
That actually doesn't surprise me, because I was talking to some cafe owners in Canberra a couple of weeks ago.
As you do.
And they were saying that Tony Abbott is one of the sort of nicest and also wittiest and funniest people to engage with.
Well, I mentioned in another episode of this summer series that I was in a cab with him for 40 minutes once, and that he was hilarious and paying out Malcolm Turnbull, who was currently in the middle of trying to knock off.
Why were you in a cab with Tony Abbott?
Because we were at a writers' festival going to the airport, and they just somehow put him in a cab with the member of the Chaser. It was the perfect opportunity to do something, and there was no way of doing it. But he'd just been, remember the time he was in that sketch for us? Right after we were persona non grata, and he just came along anyway, and he's like, oh, it happens to me all the time that the media hates me. And I'd just seen him do this writer's event where he was really stilted and like awkward and all that stuff. And then with away from the cameras, he was just good value and funny and whatever.
Yeah.
And that never came across. He just could not do it. But
so the Chaser podcast is the exclusive place where you find out how nice Tony Abbott is.
Well, yeah, which is not to say that, you know.
But you didn't expect this when you press play on this podcast.
And this is what they call balance. No, but he was actually, like, if you'd had a beer with him, he would have been, as long as you didn't get onto religion or politics or anything else.
But I miss Tony Abbott.
But when you're all laughing at Malcolm Turnbull, it was actually quite entertaining. John Howard was the most annoying, because he would just go, he would just do this fake laugh. It was so annoying. And he once, remember in the first early days we did the thing where it's like, I think it was Chaz, how long can you shake his hand for? And we had to speed the tape up because he just kept shaking the hand for a very long time.
It's interesting, actually. It was in the very first chaser, the election chaser initially, it was my first insight into the kind of how nightmarish in actual fact the world of a politician is. So, you know, how bad it actually is to be a politician was when we, again, talking about escalations, we had Chaz went up to Philip Ruddock, shook his hand for a long time.
Oh, was it Philip Ruddock, was it? You know,
And he went up to Philip Ruddock, and then the escalation was going to be that he hugged him, and then... And it was going to be, you know, how long can you be with them and how can you ignore them, kind of. And it was just totally normal to him. He didn't care about the handshake. He totally hugged Chaz back.
We had to put in a trick shot of him slipping the tongue in. Exactly, to make it
that
funny.
That was
into his ear.
His ear, yeah.
Exactly. And that was the thing. You go, oh, okay, so for a politician, this is normal life for them. They're on the campaign trail. They've got weird assholes coming up to them constantly doing weird shit to them. They didn't even notice that Chaz was any different at all.
Yeah, and if the camera's running, they just know that they've got to play along or look like dickheads.
They didn't even notice. I think Chaz ended up by chasing Bronwyn Bishop dressed as a bee for some reason. Again, these things have hindsight when
buzz,
you say them back.
Buzz, Bronwyn.
Back and you go,
yes, you're right.
Remember why?
Because she had beehive hair.
We really weren't the most sophisticated satirists in the. That's from the same series as the Kim Beazley, like, corn cob.
Yeah. That's my favourite. That's when I started stunt was when Charles did the very first stunt we ever did with Kim Beazley. Basically, you were holding up different microphones that were
chicken
food,
wing.
Right?
Yeah. And he just kept on grabbing them.
Well, he was pushing it away because you put it in his face, and the final thing was like a microphone boom that was a bread roll, and it came, a big French bread roll, and it came down and it was stuck into some hummus in front of him.
That was triumph.
And it was cut as, you know, how can he run the country if he can't restrain himself? And I remember Margot Kingston, you know, famous political journalist at the time and from Canberra Press Gallery, kind of came running up to us afterwards going, oh, great. I said, you guys are the chase guys, aren't you? Okay, what's the point of this? And we're like, I guess it's pretty much a fat gag.
He's a tad budgie.
Yeah, he's a searing political fat gag.
Can I refer you, by the way, to the podcast episode with Will Anderson? Because the greatest faux pas of the history of the Chaser was the meeting where he said he didn't want to do – he wanted to work with smart people like us, not those people who stuck a breadstick in front of Kim Beazley. And we – Charles and I interviewed him about that for about 15 minutes.
Oh, really?
It was in the podcast feed earlier in the year. It's well worth a listen. It was quite fun.
That's great, yes. They didn't all have good ideas.
Do you remember also that exact stunt was when Glenn Milne turned against us?
Oh, yeah.
Because he did not approve of any sort of humour being introduced into the election. He said, this is an election campaign. You can't have comedy. And he got all angry.
And he is saying, is that what then led to later on where we did a
start? Oh, shall we talk about that? I don't know if we can talk about that. Let's have a quick break while we consider that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. Now with extra whispers.
So is that what led to later on another stunt the Chaser did?
Yes.
And this with Glenn Milne.
That was the same series, wasn't it?
With Glenn Milne. And
that was the last episode of that
series. Yeah, I don't remember at all. But I do remember that in the end we didn't put it to air because he said he had cancer.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
which is always a really comfortable subject for us. We never get into trouble with that.
Exactly.
Although this is a point in our defence because it shows we were actually restrained in some cases.
Restrained. That's one of the few occasions where the other famous example of where we didn't put something to air was where we had quite a few run-ins with Bill Heffernan on the campaign trail over the years, which we did put to air.
Mm.
And then one year we sent Charles out and Charles followed Bill Heffernan around for quite a while, like almost documentary style. And when you looked back on that footage, it was actually extraordinary because it's the one time I've had extraordinary – I really related to Bill Heffernan and felt sorry for him. Charles Firth managed to make Bill Heffernan be the kind of character you cared for.
Yeah, seems sympathetic. He was the victim.
Character. You're like, he was the victim. And you went, you know, this is an – incredible piece of work, Charles. I do believe we may not put it to work.
Yeah, because the funny thing was, because Bill Heffernan was kind of like a troll. Like I actually videoed him once on another election.
I was trolling the troll.
Yeah, he was outside the town hall, like voting booth, holding up green. Like he grabbed all these green how to votes off someone, and he's going, "Decriminalize drugs. Everyone has drugs." Like he was just basically heaping shit on Greens. just for the hell of it. I don't even know why he was there or what he thought he was. This is like a very senior politician's choice of place to go on election day is doing that.
He was just kind of troll, wasn't he?
But the Glenn Milne thing, just to give it more context, the plan was to try and beat up a story from nothing. Like, because we thought political journalists, and he probably did something at the time.
No, because wasn't it about would he take off his coat? Like, it wasn't the whole
thing. Wasn't the whole thing of was he going to stand down?
Welcome to Alzheimer's Weekly.
I think we're starting a rumour that he was going to stand down, and there was like he was going to lose his job or something. And then he claimed that he had a health problem.
You're
and therefore
right.
We
tried to plant the rumor into the press gallery.
It was the first.
But
was
the whole thing is he had cancer.
Well, he said he did. Yeah, it was the first draft of the idea that then became. It then became the Cadman idea where we tried to start a rumor,
which was brilliant,
and that was much better.
But
that
we should chat about the Cadman thing on another episode because we don't want the listeners to.
We only have so many good ideas.
Because everyone's already turned off this one.
Hi, Glenn.
But before we finish this episode, can I just ask about Peter Costello? Because I remember you being pissed off with how well Peter Costello would deal with you.
Yeah, no, Peter Costello, we didn't do many stunts with him, but we did one where we were doing a parody of like a no smoking ad at the time or something. We went up to Peter Costello and he just,
This is the Garys, right?
Yeah. He played along and danced, and he became all animated and danced. He was great, but he was very surprising. It was so against what you expected to come.
He was really playing. It was the No Gary No. We'll play the clip of that No Gary No, which was, if you hadn't seen the ad, even now it's completely bizarre, but you were just replicating the ad in the real world. He really did play along very beautifully.
Yeah, if the clip was just played, there's also a half an hour side version where we explain what the fuck that was about.
that's actually too boring for even this podcast series.
But wasn't the point that because he played along so well, it didn't quite work as well?
Yeah, it
was in the compile.
Interestingly enough, it did work. In actual fact, he made that piece.
Mm.
And that was the interesting thing about these stunts is that sometimes the comedy came from the politician getting the shits, but sometimes they would actually come up with a better line and actually make the piece work. And you go, oh, that politician has just given the punchline to this piece.
Yes.
And Malcolm Turnbull actually occasionally would be very good at that, giving a kind of quite a good punchline as well. And you go, oh, well, good on you. You've gone along with it. You've actually got a great line out there.
Did Peter Debnam ever give you a good punchline?
Get some red microphones. We're part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll have another one of these tomorrow in your feed.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.